John Hiatt recorded his latest album, Master of Disaster, with Jim Dickinson in Memphis, Tennessee. Today, Jim's sons, Luther and Cody Dickinson, along with Chris Chu, the trio happened to make up the North Mississippi All-Stars, are here to play live. It turns out it was the first time that Hiatt, an Indiana native who has decidedly Southern leanings in his music, has recorded in Memphis. He'd had record company business there before, though, with the legendary Stax sideman Steve Cropper and Memphis legend Don Nix, the composer of the song Going Down, who was apparently quite a scary figure to the young Hiatt. But the new album was a first.
You know, that was the first time I ever made a record in Memphis. I went to Memphis briefly. I moved to Nashville when I was 18, and I went to Memphis briefly. Steve Cropper had started a label in Memphis back in the day.
Wow.
I think it was called TMI Records.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Memphis because Steve wanted to sign me to that label. And I spent a very strange night at Don Nixon's house.
Wow.
Yeah, and he showed me his Nazi gun collection, and among other things.
Whoa.
And, yeah, man, what a trip that was. But in fact, I think he was putting on the uniforms and dancing around the house. And
nice.
I believe he loaded up a few. Just
right?
Yeah, man, the guy was out of his mind. But but this is the guy that wrote, what was that song? I'm going down. And he was too, man. He was way out there. But I wound up not signing with Steve Cropper's label. I can't remember what my reasoning was at the time. I was sure it wasn't anything that made any sense. But I stayed up in Nashville and wound up signing a thing with Epic Records through New York City at the time. But But I fell in love with Memphis. I loved the whole vibe there. But I had a girlfriend in Nashville. Wound up staying there. It didn't take long to conclude once you started sort of going back that the whole American music thing came from the Southern United States. So that was sort of where it was all It was, to me, it was the place to be.
Absolutely. Now, all you guys are band guys in a way. You know, John, you're kind of known as a singer-songwriter, but every time you go out, you got a killer band with you. And I'm not going to ask you which is your fave, but I am going to ask you if each band kind of has a life of their own as things go along.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've always... it's funny because I've always sort of straddled the fence. You know, I like being autonomous, but I've always wanted to be in a band. So I've always sort of played this weird cat and mouse game. But I've always been lucky and had been able to play with great people. And I've sort of always just been drawn to playing with people that are, well, A, better than me, that's for sure. And then just wanted to play with band type players, you know. And these guys, North Mississippi guys, really are a wonderful band, and it's been a real pleasure and privilege and honor to just play with them.
John Hiatt and the North Mississippi All-Stars are our guests. You guys ought to play some music as long as you're here. What do you want to start off with?
I don't know. What do you want to start off with? Wintertime Blues, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Just a nasty case, these old wintertime blues.
That's the Wintertime Blues, and that's not exactly what it sounds like on Master of Disaster, but a really nice live version today from John Hiatt and the North Mississippi All-Stars, who are hanging out with us today. They've been touring around, and you've been revealing stuff in concert, and I've been reading a little bit about it on the web, John. And one of the things is, I understand this June that there were at least a couple of graduations in your family. What tell us about that?
Yeah, well, my oldest daughter graduated from college, University of Denver, and my youngest daughter graduated from high school, up in Bath, Maine, and I myself graduated from high school.
Wow!
At 53 years of age, I finally got that done.
Well. Applause for that.
Better late than never, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, when you left school, did you leave out a burning desire to do music, or just a burning desire not to be in school?
Well, I'll tell you what, there was some kind of burning there. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I was burnt up and burnt out. I just couldn't. I was a freshman, and I just couldn't. You know, I was just a troubled youth, David. What can I tell you? I just couldn't. I just wasn't equipped to handle it, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, and I was just a mess, you know, and I couldn't think straight, and you know, it just wasn't in the cards for me to finish high school when I was a freshman, and I did the best I could, and I just, you know, various reasons kind of all converged at the same time.
Now, what did you do before you started making music?
Well, I was already well into making it at that point. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, I started when I was 11, and so yeah, it was pretty much, you know, I was pretty much set. But you know, my father died when I was 13, and my mother had to go back to work. I was the youngest boy, seven kids, and I had my three older sisters at home, and I was the youngest boy, and I was ready to get out of there, and you know, my, you know, I really kind of was kind of a, you know, it's the old story. I was sort of left to my own devices, and you know, I was already sorting things out for myself, and it was like, school, what? Mm-hmm. You know, who needs that? I'm going to play music, and it was that sort of thing, and just the high school experience for me was just torturous. I can't put it any other way.
Can I get an amen just, from the Dickinsons
yeah.
on that?
yeah, just torture.
100%.
So, but you know what? It's always bothered me that I didn't finish. You know, just because you know yeah. it's a just because it's I always had that in the back of my mind that I couldn't you know whatever I couldn't go on to college, for example.
Right.
And you know what? Now I can. So next step is I want to take the ACTs or PSATs or whatever, because I'm not going to go just monitor courses. I want to get courses for credit. So I want the damn credit.
Yeah.
So.
Now, here's a question for everybody who's got kids in high school, and here you go back and you get your GED, you do it now. How hard is it for you now? How hard was it now to do it?
Well, I got to say, it was, it wasn't easy, particularly the math and the algebra. that was a painful experience to know just how little of that I'd retained. But, I had to study, man. I went to the Williamson County, which is the county I live in Tennessee. I went and I had a mentor, I went and hooked up with this lady who was so wonderful, and she gave me a little few pretests to find out where I was, what I needed help in, and hooked me up with some workbooks. I went home, I worked them, I learned how to, where I was short. Then I took a pretest last December, 4 hours, and I passed that. You have to pass that to be able to be eligible to take the real test. And I barely eked by on the math, and I got, of course, my word skills and all that stuff. I did real well.
Oh, I'm sure it was incredible.
But in math, I was terrible, so I just barely got by. And so I knew I had to study. So I got one of those, they got these big workbooks. So there's about 20 different kinds. Studying for your GED. And I just got one, and I just busted my ass. My girls helped me, thank God. They were explaining stuff to me, and I didn't know how to use a calculator, for example. I had no idea. So half the math test is or algebra test, you have to use a calculator. So they showed me how to use the damn thing, and I had this whole thing. But this woman, God bless her, man. She helped. Everybody, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. That's all I can tell you, and that's all I can tell the kids. You got to want to learn enough. And, okay, fine. High school's silly. That's fine, whatever. But get it done so you can go and actually learn something in college. It's just...
Well, amen to all
just,
that.
Just for the feeling of, hey, I did this, That's what it's all about.
I am so glad that I don't have to try to do that now. I truly appreciate how difficult it must be at this point, too. Also.
With the brain cells missing, it's harder.
John Hyatt and the North Mississippi All-Stars are here. And one thing about Master of Disaster, if you're talking about, American music, it's all over the place. There's some, there's kind of this wonderfully folky thing called Howlin' Down the Cumberland. I was wondering how that swings with you guys.
Yeah, we should play that. That was a kind of a, I was a... That's kind of a good. We're into winter songs on this thematically, starting with the wintertime blues. But this is good because this is the hottest freaking week of the tour, so it's good we're playing this cool motif. But yeah, Howlin' Down the Cumberland was another wintertime song. Wintertime in Tennessee is not all that rough, but it's just gray and blue enough to get me down. So, Howlin' Down the Cumberland. Let's play that one. Icy wind.
Nature just commands, that's all. So now my love's an icy wind howling down the Cumberland. Now my love's an icy wind howling down the Cumberland.
Howling Down the Cumberland, John Hiatt and the North Mississippi All-Stars. Coming up, the story behind his song Thunderbird on the new album, and a look into Hiatt's days as a very petty criminal. Coming up on the World Cafe. More with John Hiatt and the North Mississippi All-Stars, the tale of a real car and how it became the subject of a song. I asked Hiatt if he owned the Thunderbird he sings about on his new album.
I do not. I've stolen one.
Yeah?
Tell that story.
Well, I'm not proud of it, but when I was a freshman in high school, when other people were, you know, studying to be sophomores, I was me and a group of kids were, we were faux punks. We thought we were, you know, badasses, but, you know, we weren't. But we played pool and, you know, hung around the pool halls and stole cars. And we were so stupid, we'd keep them for weeks at a time, you know, and drive them to school and not change the plates, not do anything, you know, just begging to be caught, you know. And we stole this 66 Thunderbird one very cold February night and kept it for weeks, drove it to the pool hall and shot pool and hung out and, you know, drove it to school in the morning, just like idiots. But we were driving home from the pool hall one afternoon and an identical Thunderbird, 66 Thunderbird, came up alongside us in the far right lane and cut in front of us like it was turning left and spun around right in front of us, and these two huge guys jump out. I noticed that it had a vanity plate on the front of it that said his, and our Thunderbird had a vanity plate that said hers. And so we realized at that moment that we had stolen this guy's wife's Thunderbird, and he got out and was the guy driving, my buddy Gary. He jumped out immediately and took off into the cornfield. and me and my other buddy, I was sitting in the shotgun, and my buddy was sitting in the back seat. And we had this plan that if ever any of us were stopped, the riders would disavow any knowledge of the driver, you know, or the car being stolen or anything, that we were just hitchhikers. So you know, there's no honor among thieves. So that's exactly what we did. We was stolen? Why? We had no idea. We were just hitchhiking. We had no idea this was a stolen car. And somehow the wife who was with the guy, she stayed behind with one of the friends while these other two huge guys ran after our friend, and they believed us. and so we actually talked them into believing us, and so we were allowed. They let us go, and I walked home. I was a few miles from home, and I that cured me of thievery. I never stole so much as a candy bar ever again in my life. And I remember walking around for months after, terrified that you know my buddy would have told somebody that in fact I was involved in the theft or whatever. And I never heard from my buddy again. I saw him years later at a show. He came to a show.
Wow.
Like when I was in my 40s. And he came backstage and he brought his wife with him, and I tried to bring up the incident, and he was like giving me the old, you know, cut, don't know, you know, like his wife didn't know anything about it, and he didn't want to even talk about it, you know. And so I just didn't even say a word, you know. So it was very strange, and I was all ready to laugh about it and everything. But he must have gone away and done, you know,
became a cop.
Well, yeah, right. maybe. But
maybe he'll hear this and chuckle about it.
Oh my God, it was so bizarre.
But I'll bet none of that had anything to do with writing the song, right?
Oh well, you know, I make the joke now that this is all I got. This is what I got out of it. But I mean, I'm not proud of the incident by any means. Right. And on top of that, it was like five below February night, and the lady was going into a pizza place to get a pizza for her family for dinner, and she left the car. This was 66, and she left the car running. And, you know, in those days, you didn't think as much about that kind of thing. You know, people did that. But maybe not in New York City, but back in Indiana. And here come these four little scumbags out of the bushes, and then we took her car. I mean, I'm an awful person, you know, when I think about that. And, you know, so there.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is
telling on myself.
This is our therapy session with John Hyatt.
Yes, thank you for letting me get that out. I feel much better.
And this is the song that came out of it. This is Thunderbird.
What do I owe you, David?
Put your head on my shoulder, don't you say a word. We'll cut across town in my Thunderbird. There's a burial ground beneath a cattle herd. Mr. Henry Ford's building me a Thunderbird. My Thunderbird. My Thunderbird. Put your head on my shoulder, don't you say a word. We'll cut across town in my Thunderbird. Baby, rest assured, don't get any better than a thumb. but I'm a thunderbird. Oh, I'm a thunderbird. Well, the Lomans saying something, I can't hear a word. I'm going too fast in my thunderbird.
That's Thunderbird, another one from Master of Disaster. John Hyatt with the North Mississippi All-Stars playing live here in the World Cafe. Do you want to maybe close off with something going back in the day? You only got a few to choose from, John.
Yeah, we learned up four or five tunes that we hadn't played last summer, and I wanted to learn this one up because I knew we were going to Houston. And we were in Houston last year. Well, actually, I did a Houston date last year solo. And Rick Lenihan, who's an astronaut, I actually know an astronaut pretty wild. He came to the show, and he actually took the Perfectly Good Guitar CD up with him in 2000, I think it was, or 2001. I can't remember which one. He went up to repair the Hubble. Spacecraft, do a little repairing, a little spacewalking. And I got to meet him, and he told me that he took that CD up, and he used to play Blue Telescope every morning when they woke to wake up the other astronauts. I was so touched by that. And then he came to the show last year, and I didn't play the damn song. I did everything. I had tickets for him, and, you know, I had it all, had everything all hooked up, and then I don't know what happened in my brain other than nothing right. And I just forgot to play the damn song for him. I couldn't, you know. This is the kind of thing, David, that I do in my life to make, you know, these are the kinds of things I do. If you know, I've got one foot in my mouth, hey, why not put the other one in? You know, these are the kind of things that I think of on a consistent basis. And so I forgot to play the song for him. And so this year I was determined that when we went to Houston, I was going to invite Rick Lenihan and whoever else from NASA wanted to come, his buddies, and I was going to play the song. So we learned up the song. So
cool.
So let's play that song.
This is the Making Amends tour. This is Blue Telescope.
Let's go. Wish I may, or wish I might.
Blue Telescope from our guest today, the touring aggregation of John Hyatt with North Mississippi All-Stars. And big thanks to Luther and Cody and Chris Chu and to John Hyatt for hanging with us today. John, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you. And thanks to the All-Stars, man, for coming out. You know, these guys do a set before I play, and they are just, they've been tearing it up across this vast land.
And they continue to. They're among our faves. So thanks, everybody. Once again, big thanks to John Hyatt for joining us. That latest album is called Master of Disaster, and it is available at our World Cafe CD store, worldcafe.npr.org.